In case you haven't noticed, this week is yet another one of those theme weeks that dot the calendar. It's Beer Week, and it runs from last Friday through this Thursday at various venues around town. But for a lot of people, every week is Beer Week. What makes this one so special? That's what my guests are here to explain. They are Scott Kramlett, who is the brewmaster at Rubicon, has been for a long time, almost all of the 25 years that Rubicon has been around. J.E. Pano is the proprietor at Roostdollar, Sacramento-style beer. And Jay Prahl is beer maker at Sudwerk Restaurant and Brewery, who does German-style beer. And they are all here in the studio. Welcome, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What makes, why is this Beer Week? How did Beer Week develop?
Beer Week developed a few years ago. Well, actually, a lot of cities around the United States have started doing Beer Weeks to celebrate the art and craft of brewing. For a lot of us, 52 weeks out of the year is Beer Week,
right?
Like you mentioned. But we live, eat, drink, sleep, making beer and enjoying beer.
But you live in a fantasy land that few mortals can comprehend.
We've been told that, yes.
And did Beer Week just start happening here in Sacramento recently? Because I wasn't really aware of it until the last few years.
The third year, and I think the J.E.? Yeah, J.E. Not really sure why we picked February, but I think it was probably threw a calendar up, threw a dart at it, and said, that sounds good. So, but it's worked great, and it's grown every year, and it's been great for restaurants and breweries, and I think all the local fans as well.
And what are the parameters of Beer Week in the sense that do places have sort of deals on beer, or do they have what are people doing around town, and who's involved?
Well, I think that's the great part is that and why it's so grown so organically and so quickly is there is very few rules. It's kind of everyone can be creative both on the brewery side as well as the restaurant side and the bar sides and just come up with something that's fun, that fans are going to love, and it's really all about Sacramento and all about great beer.
And we're talking about Sacramento Beer Week. We actually have a bunch of bottles. This is the earliest I've seen this many bottles lined up somewhere in the morning, and we're going to have some beer tasting here. I've never done beer tasting on the air, so we'll sort of see how this goes, but we'll try to be very descriptive for everybody. Why don't you guys actually start pouring some of these out, because they're all still in bottles, and we have bottle openers and everything. Scott from Rubicon, I think you guys are probably the oldest continually running brewery in town, is that correct?
At this point, that's correct.
And you started in the 25 years ago, so started in the 80s. What was the beer scene in Sacramento like when Rubicon started?
It was pretty sparse at the time. There was another brewery that had opened up before us, and that was Hogshead Brewery. They opened up in July of 1986, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
We opened up in November 1st, 1987, and quite honestly, it was the early, not as pioneering as when Roostdollar's first opened, but it was the first generation of this craft beer movement. Sierra Nevada had just opened in 1982,
mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
and so there you go. Jay.
I like that. We get a little beer pouring sound on the radio.
And so we were part of the first wave of what's now known as the craft beer movement.
Okay.
Back in '87.
Yeah, because as I recall, in the '80s, it was pretty much Budweiser, real light lagers, and let's put it this way: it wasn't so interesting.
There wasn't as much diversity as we have now. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing world of beer out there.
And was that just an awareness that you and the founders of Rubicon had, that there was a lot of beer out there that wasn't being made and that people didn't know about?
Well, reawakening a renaissance. The original owner of Rubicon, Ed Brown, had gone to England and tasted some of the really great ales over there and was inspired to come back and be part of this new fledgling movement. The light lagers are fantastic. We have a lot of great friends that work for Budweiser and really respect those beers, but sometimes diversity is nice.
Mm-hmm.
And we really had to, there wasn't a lot of drinkers out there for these styles. And so the industry kind of grew along with the consumers. We were throwing new creative beers out there, resurrecting old styles. And luckily there were a lot of folks that came along for the journey with us. And mm-hmm. here we are today with lots of breweries, lots of styles, and a very exciting, dynamic thing called craft brewing.
We're talking about beer, and it's Beer Week in Sacramento, and it goes through this Thursday, right? Am I correct?
No. All the way through Sunday.
All the way through Sunday. Okay.
This is a long, so you know, a week to a brewer is 11 days.
Yeah, okay. Got it. Okay.
A short week for us is 9 days.
Yeah. Okay. and Jay Prawl from Sudwerk, you guys started in what year?
1989, 1990. Okay. We were brewing in 89, but we didn't open the doors until 1990. And making lager beers requires some aging time, so we got a head start before we opened the doors.
Okay. Yeah. And you're in Davis, right?
Correct.
And you distribute all over the West Coast, it sounds like.
All of California, Oregon, Nevada, Arizona, some other states further east. We send some beer to Guam, of all places, as well. So okay. Send some to the U.K.
Beer does. Guam doesn't need beer anywhere less than anywhere else. Well, let's let's try a couple of beers. This is let's see, it's 10:20 in the morning. All right. So what is this right here?
So that's Rustaller 1881, our California Red Ale. It's named for the year Rustaller was founded when he brewed his first beer, and so that was his first year, our first brew. And it's a California Red Ale because 95% of the malted barley comes from California. So that's.
That's good, and it's not super hoppy, but you can definitely taste the hops.
It goes really well with food. This is what's at Mulvaney's and Magpie and 1022 and Roxy and restaurants like that. So the chefs really like it because it pairs well with food. Doesn't dominate, but complements.
And we should also say, anybody who drives down J Street in Sacramento sees a building, I think, at 9th and J?
9th and J,
where the Christian Science Reading Room is downstairs, and up above is the Rustaller building, right?
Well, the whole building's the Rustaller building. Okay. But yeah, that was his headquarters back when he was running his business, and it was a tap room in the basement, offices on the first and second floor, or what's now the first and second floor. Of course, you know, the streets were raised at some point. So, and then the third and fourth floor actually was the entertaining room for the Rustaller family. I was told that by Charlotte Gilmore, who's a local Rustaller, that the Rustallers did all their entertaining in that building, not in their home. So it has a lot of history.
And we should say the Rustallers, you said 1881, that was when Rustaller originally started. Was Rustaller a German?
He's Swiss German.
Swiss German, okay.
Central Switzerland.
And how long did Rustaller operate and then close down, and then what's the story behind you guys reopening?
Yeah, he operated until 1929, 28, when the government took the best thing Sacramento had going and killed it, prohibition.
Right.
And pretty much that drove a lot of the brewers in Sacramento, not just Rustaller, into other businesses. And so they got into real estate and farming and other ventures. And it really wasn't until the laws changed in the 70s when we could start, craft brews really could start again, that that this became possible.
And when did you restart Rustaller as a brand?
Yeah, I've been working on this since I was a student at UC Davis, so about 2.5 years ago, when I read Ed Carroll's book and discovered that we were the beer capital of the West Coast at one point, and I thought, well, let's see if we can re-earn that moniker.
What am I drinking right here? This is
Sudwerk Pilsner.
Okay, and Jay, tell us a little bit about this.
Well, Pilsner's named for a town in the Czech Republic called Pilsen. And it was the place that yellow beer was first invented. And that is a style of beer that's come to dominate the world. There are lots of different kinds of Pilsner. This is a southern German style of Pilsner. It's made with 100% barley malt, usually a Pilsen malt, which gives a light but crisp flavor. And it's for a Bavarian beer, aggressively hopped, about 35 IBUs.
And you mentioned that this is the kind of beer that's become popular all over the world. Is that because it's light? I mean, if you go to, like, you have Singha in Thailand, you have Asahi in Japan, they're all essentially kind of the same kind of beer, right?
Yeah. You know, up until the 1840s, folks drank out of ceramic glassware rather than crystal glassware. And once you could see what was in your glass, the color of a beer became very important. And some maltsters got very creative in coming up with a way to roast their grain without giving too much color. That also gave a nice crisp flavor, and both the appearance and the flavor sort of took the world by storm. And now when folks think of beer, except for this new renaissance here in the U.S., where beer is probably the most interesting place, or this is the most interesting place to drink beer now, this was a kind of beer that really took the world.
We're talking about beer and Beer Week. You guys aren't drinking.
I'm not. Sorry about that. I can't drink alone
in the morning. It's just wrong on a couple of different levels. And this is so that's the light. And then this one right here is somewhat less light.
It's a little more golden colored. That is Sudwerk Lager. And Sudwerk The full name is Sudwerk Privat Brauerei Hoopsch, and our mission statement would be to make authentic Bavarian style lagers.
So that tastes even lighter to me than the Pilsner.
It is a little rounder and a little less hoppy, so the maybe crispness is a little bit less, and it tends to pair well with more foods.
And some of Scott's beers, which I'm most familiar with at Rubicon, tend to be pretty hoppy, and we're going to get to those in just a second. But the difference between these two lagers, the Pilsner is a little bit hoppier, and the lager is, what's the dominant taste then in the lager?
It's very malt forward. That's the way brewers describe a beer that's got a big malty character. And it's got some caramel malt and some Munich malt. Germans refer to beer as liquid bread. It's part of their diet. And that is the house beer throughout Bavaria.
Okay, I'm going to move over here to the darker ones because I like dark beers. And what's this? Is this yours, Scott?
Yeah, that's our Irish Red Ale from the Rubicon Brewing Company. And it's a beer we've been making for about 20-some-odd years now. And it's currently our winter, early spring release. We bring it out a little bit before Christmas. And
what gives it the red? Because it really is quite, it is a red look.
What makes it the reddish color are very dark roasted, what are called crystal or caramel malts. Mm-hmm. And they give it that rich, toffee kind of characteristic. There might be a little smokiness in there, maybe a little raisin character. It's not your classic Irish beer, which they don't tend to be as hoppy or as big as this. But this is Rubicon-style Irish Red Ale with our classic bigger flavors, more hops, more hop aroma.
And that's how you would describe Rubicon flavors would be bolder, hoppier.
In general, we make beers that run the gamut. We make some very light beers. In the summertime, we'll make a beer called Solamente, and that's like a Mexican-style lager, very light, very refreshing for those 100-degree Sacramento days. And we also make beers that go all the way up to 11.5% what we call our wheat wine, a very strong, heavy, extremely malty beer. And we make everything in between.
Scott Kramlett, do you guys find, and all of you guys, do you find that people drink darker, heavier beers in the winter and lighter beers in the summer, or do people have just sort of a general tendency to drink lighter beers or darker beers?
I think that's a common misconception that darker beers are for wintertime. We have folks that drink our Irish Stout year-round, and it's their go-to beer. Mm-hmm. And it's personal preference.
What's this?
That's our India Pale Ale,
that was
and that's our flagship beer. We started making that in 1988, and that is a very hoppy beer with a fair amount of bitterness to it. It's over half of our production, and it's what we call old school.
And that's the IPA?
Yes, sir. Okay. Old school IPA, meaning that it's almost the same way we were making it back in 1988. And back then, people thought that was an extreme beer. It's so bitter. It's so hoppy. Mm-hmm. But nowadays, with all these new brewers coming in, they're making more and more bitter beers, hoppier and hoppier. I call it a hops arm race.
And it has a real sort of a grapefruity, citrusy flavor to me, the real hoppy beers.
Yeah,
do.
What you're picking up is some of the hop characteristics.
Okay.
And there's some of the citrus character. We use Cascades and a variety called Chinooks. And a grapefruity character is one of the signature aromas that you might get from Chinooks.
Going back to Rootstaller, that reminded me when you said hops. It reminded me there used to be hop fields all down around at the end of Watt Avenue at Folsom Boulevard.
Yeah.
I saved the best for last because I'm a dark beer drinker. What am I drinking right here, J.E.?
That's the Captain. It's our black California Black IPA. And
because it doesn't taste like a stout.
No, so it's malty but not heavy, and it's hoppy but not bitter. So the hop in that is primarily aroma hops. Hops can either impart bitterness or aroma to a beer, and so
yeah,
you tried to balance it out well.
That was the first thing I did when I drank it. Immediately my nose wanted to go and smell it. It's really good. All right, well, it is Beer Week, and Scott Kramlett, J.E. Pino, and Jay Prahl are all from local brewers, and thanks so much for coming in this morning.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.